So I'm venturing out here today. The Lord told me not to preach the message that I had for last week. So I'm just flying. We're just flying. And the thing the Lord's been really speaking to me about is what He's done for us. And the reality of that. You know, there's a lot of prophetic words out there right now talking about everything that our country has been through and everything, talking about the fact that there's going to be this incredible change of events and that it's going to be so obvious to everybody that it's God that people will just fall on their faces. And I keep wondering if that isn't really, if God isn't waiting for us. Because what I believe it really is that we fully manifest the glory of God. That we become transfigured in front of the world as Christ was transfigured on the Mount. And they look and see that we truly are the children of God. Amen. That is what will shock and awe. And it's interesting because Dawn kind of got a word on this Sunday night at Worship and Release. And in that you know, that we're going to go to Walmart or Kmart or whatever, Target, whatever. And that people will just like Smith Wigglesworth walked into a train car and the whole place went to their knees because they just knew that God was on that man. Amen. That's the shock and awe that our country needs to see. Amen. That's the shock and awe that the world needs to see. Amen. Right? Is that we walk in and they're like, oh my gosh, look at God in and upon that person. But church, that's never going to happen if we don't believe what Christ has done. It will never happen if we don't understand that we have been made new creations in Christ. And Christ, the living God, lives inside of us. He is in us and upon us. And greater things than what Christ has done, we will do if we will just embrace the truth of who we are in Him. Yes. It is time for religion to be destroyed. The spirit of the religion needs to be released. We need to embrace the truth that we are as Christ was in the world. And Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. So are we in this world. In this world, this is who we are. But we must embrace that. So I have the Passion Translation. I don't normally teach from the Passion Translation because it's not an exact translation. It's really there. It contains within it, which I believe is beautiful. But it contains in it the translator infuses into it like this revelation of the Passion of Christ, right? So it's not like a word of word translation. It's like his commentary, the Spirit of God just blows on it, and it's really the Passion of Christ that comes out in every verse. The Passion of Christ comes out. But I just felt like the Lord today just wanted me to read these scriptures over you, just read these scriptures over us, and just to meditate on them, to marinate on them, to soak in them, because He so is calling us to walk in the fullness of what He died to give us. And it is not like He is Christ. But He is, like I've said so many times, He is not threatened by us being large. He is not threatened by us being large. He's not threatened by us walking in the fullness of what He died for. Because He is Christ. He's secure. He's secure. He is secure. He knows who He is. And so us being large and us impacting the world around us, the community around us, doesn't threaten Him. We need to just think so much bigger than what we've been thinking. You know, it says in Galatians 2:20, right? My old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives. for the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. For the anointed one lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into me. Into every single one of us, Christ lives inside of us, and his life permeates every cell of our being. And as we walk through the earth, as we walk, the waves of his presence should just heal the people who are around us. Just like Peter walked out and the shadow just healed people. So I've said so many times, people should be lined up outside your front door waiting for you to walk outside. Because Christ is in us. There is nothing more to do except for us to believe that. There's nothing more to be done. There's no work we can do. It's just being in him and understanding who we are in him. He says, so that is why I don't view God's grace as something minor or peripheral. For if keeping the law, if trying to perform, if doing things in our own strength could release God's righteousness to us, the anointed one would have died for nothing. If we could have become righteous, if we could have been holy, if we could have been any of those things in our own strength, then Christ then had no need to come. But he did come. He did come, and it was his good pleasure to come. He didn't, like I said before, he didn't come because you were some dirty, rotten mess, although we were all a dirty, rotten mess. But he came because he knew who you were created to be, and you were made in his image and likeness. And every single one of us has a destiny in him. Now, you cannot fulfill that destiny outside of him. But in him, all of a sudden, you're released to fulfill the destiny of God in each one of us. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Lord. 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 Ephesians 1. So the scriptures I gave her, hold them for next week. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all of our hearts. We have been wrapped into Christ. We've been taken into him. And this was his good pleasure, because this is what every single one of us was created for. You finally have come into who you were always created to be. The dreams, the visions, the desires of your heart, the reason you're alive, the whole reason that you breathe, the whole reason that blood pumps through every single vein and cell and artery of your body is so that you can fulfill the calling and purpose and to adore him, to love him, to honor him, to worship him, because you were created to be in union with him, communion from him, and out of that union is birthed your purpose.
Yes. Amen.
Out of that union I don't do my purpose to get to him. No, I am in him. We are in him. Therefore, my purpose can finally burst forth in my life, in our lives, in every one of our lives. This is the news of the gospel. And we can't shrink back from it, church. We can't play games. We can't keep belly button gazing and introspecting and trying to figure out what's wrong. No. That question is no longer valid once you come to Christ. The question, what's wrong with me, is never valid once you come to Christ. Now it is, what's right with me in him? In him. It's what's right about me. It's everything that he has put inside of you by putting himself inside of you has made you righteous and holy and pure and above reproach in front of his sight. And if we're in front of his sight, we're okay. What does it matter what the rest of the world thinks? Amen. 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 And he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. It brings him great pleasure. You need to know, listen, God doesn't come and die for you just because it seemed like a good idea. No, this was the passion of the Christ. This was, he so was enamored with every single one of you. He so loved every single one of you that it was worth him coming to die to bring you into the kingdom. It was, you were worth that. You were worth the blood of Jesus Christ. If you were the only person on this planet who needed redemption, he still would have come because you are that valuable to him. You are that precious to him. And why would you look at yourself any other way if Christ Almighty has said, I accept you, I love you, you are beautiful in my sight? If he would say that, why would you say anything else? Bill Johnson says, I can't afford to have a thought in my own head about myself that Christ doesn't think about me. This pleased the Father. He didn't have to twist Jesus' arm. He didn't have to grit his teeth and say, oh, I guess I need to do something because I created them. No, it was his good pleasure to come. It was his good pleasure to come. The cross, it was his good pleasure to go to the cross. Was it suffering? Absolutely. But were we worth it? Absolutely. Since we are now joined to Christ, we have been given the treasures of redemption by his blood, the total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of his grace. This superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing within us all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. We all have this wisdom in us. We talked about this in the 9 o'clock class, right? That when his spirit came to live inside of us, that wisdom, everything we needed, he gave us a full load. You're fully loaded. And it's come to take up residence inside of us. And so we have this wisdom and practical understanding. You know, it's we are in a different kingdom than the world. You know, I said Christianity is not a religion. It's the reality of the kingdom of God that has been brought here on earth. We are in that kingdom, and we walk everywhere we go. We carry that kingdom with us. And so the wisdom we have, the understanding we have, everything, it doesn't match up to the world. Praise God. Praise God. It's good news, absolutely good news. So we don't walk the same way. We see things differently because he's opened our spiritual eyes to look and see things from a different perspective. You know, everything in the world we see is always a battle between light and dark. That's all that ever happens. Even when you have an argument with a friend or a family member, it's just a battle between light and dark. It's either flesh or the spirit, right? That's just all it is. That's all there ever is a battle between light and dark. And so if we just see that, if we just see that that's children of light, because of Christ, we are the children of light. The world, so the whole world is, man, you can hear the groanings. You can hear the groanings.
You really can.
Yes. The groanings is on the news media. Yeah. The groanings is on Facebook and social media. Yeah. It's the whole world is groaning. It's all groaning, but they're waiting for us.
Yeah.
They're waiting for us. And so why do we join in with them? Why do we argue with them? Because it's not about a right or wrong. It's about us manifesting the truth of who Christ is in us, the hope of glory. The whole world is waiting for us. Jesus is waiting for us. The Father is waiting. You know, just like the angels, you know, kind of step back as because Jesus had died, right? And they're all standing, they're kind of waiting, like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen, right? What's going to happen? And all of a sudden, Christ breaks forth, and he comes through, and they're like, phew, we made it. So the Lord's saying, get out of the grave. Get out of the grave. Manifest the truth of who we are. Move forward. Embrace the truth of what he's done with us. Stand up and be and live in the fullness of who we are. You're clothed in robes of righteousness. You're wearing a crown of glory. You didn't deserve them, no, but he put them on you. It was his good pleasure to put them on you. And the world is waiting for us to manifest the truth of that. Because that's what's going to bring them to Christ. Not who's in political office. I'm sorry. It's not. It's about us manifesting him. The fullness of him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And through the revelation of the Anointed One, he unveiled his secret desires to us. The hidden mystery of his long-range plan, which he was delighted to implement from the very beginning of time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And because of God's unfailing purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax when God makes all things new and all of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. Wow, this is the hope that we live for, right? Because we know this is temporary. We know all of this is temporary. But we know the eternal kingdom of which we are already resident. We're already in that kingdom, right? So we're already seated in that kingdom. We're seated with him in heavenly places, right? We're seated in that kingdom. We're already in it. We are in it, and it's in us, right? We're already there. And so that's why Christ said, we've already died and arrived.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes. We've died and arrived. We're already there. Right there. All we do is shed this suit at some point, right?
Yeah.
We're already there. But our testimony, our life, the fullness of our life needs to provoke everybody else who isn't there to jealousy so they want to be in the kingdom we're in. Right? That our kingdom is so awesome, so great, so beautiful. Even our kingdom is even beautiful when we're being persecuted.
That's right.
Yeah.
Our kingdom, in fact, our kingdom shines even greater because as you persecute me, you see the love of Christ permeate and come out of me. And when you deserve for me to hate you, I love you instead.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. Amen. It's just like we always talk about, right? Paul, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If anyone should have been ashamed, it's Paul because his life looked a mess. But he knew the truth of who he was. He knew who lived inside of him. He knew what he lived for. And it didn't matter what his circumstances looked like in the natural. He was filled with joy. He was filled with hope because he knew who he was in Christ. And church, it is time for us all to come into the fullness of that. Come into the fullness of that. And let me tell you, we cannot do it through our own efforts. We can't. It's just washing ourselves with the water of the word, washing ourselves with the water of the word, praying in the Spirit, worshiping Him, keeping our minds on Him, keeping our hearts focused on Him. And that just washes over us and washes over it. And all of a sudden, you just see yourself walking in more and more of that fullness, right? Not because we're gritting our teeth, but because Christ has become greater revelation inside of us. It's nothing we can do on our own. Absolutely nothing we can do on our own. It says, though through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as His own inheritance. Before we were ever born, He gave us our destiny, that we would fulfill the plan of God, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in His heart. God's purpose was that the Jews, who were the first to long for the messianic hope, would be the first to believe in the Anointed One and bring great praise and glory to God. And because of Him, when we who are not Jews heard the revelation of truth, we believed in the wonderful news of salvation. Now we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. He is given to us like an engagement ring is given to a bride as the first installment of what's coming. He is our hope, promise of a future inheritance, which seals us until we have all of redemption's promises and experience complete freedom, all for the supreme glory and honor of God.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 This is what glorifies God. Like so many times we're looking to glorify God, but really the glory of God is when we walk in the fullness of what He's done. That's what gives Him the greatest glory. When we stop playing small and excusing or seeing ourselves as less than, when we stop playing that and really embrace the truth of who we are, that's not prideful. That's humility. Right? Moses was the humblest man on earth. Why? Because he believed what God said about him. And this is what we're called to, is to believe the truth of who God says we are and allow that truth to have its way in our hearts and minds in all its fullness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just go to Ephesians 3. You know, we say this prayer a lot here, you know, but I want to go through it in the Passion Translation. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul says, I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that He would unveil within you the unlimited riches of His glory and favor, until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with His divine might and explosive power. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. This is so crucial, because it's really understanding, again, it all comes back to relationship, right? You have to know that he individually chose each one of us, and He loves each one of us individually and passionately. And that it's from that place that all of this stuff becomes birthed, right? It's intimacy. It's a picture of a husband and wife in love. It's that intimate relationship that brings forth the fruit that you were designed to bring. And so it's the faith, but it's also understanding His love for us and developing that relationship where all of this, it keeps nurturing it and bringing it forth, nurturing it and bringing it forth. And it begins to have a life of its own. It begins to have a life of its own. He says, then you'll be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing Christ in all its dimensions, how deeply intimate and far-reaching is His love, how enduring and inclusive, endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Oh my gosh, Jesus. we realize that God wants us to experience that much love, like he wants us to know that we're loved that profoundly and that deeply and that intimately. Like he wants us to, it's not a theory. It's not something, this is what we experience this. He wants us to experience this kind of love. He's not keeping us from it. Like this is his good pleasure. Do we live by experience? No, even if I'm not experiencing him, I need to know that he loves me. But he's a father that wants to have that deep intimate relationship with us that he wants to bless us. He wants us to experience his love for us. He wants us to know that deeply. Because from that place, that's again, from that place is where everything else flows, and it flows naturally. Jesus didn't, when Jesus walked the earth, remember, he's our example. Like he's not only our Savior, but he demonstrates to us in the Gospels how to live a life of being a child of God and filled with the Holy Ghost. Like he's our example. And Jesus living, the relationship he had with the Father was as natural to him as breathing. Mm-hmm. And we're invited into that same thing. We're invited into that just being in the presence of the Lord is just so natural. Hearing his voice is so natural. Allowing him to lead us and guide us is so natural. That loving people is so natural because I know the love for the Father and it just flows out of us. It just flows out of us. That's the life we're called to. And I know we're all in the journey to get there, but this life is a flow. It's a flow. It's a flow of him. Just like we flowed together so well last week, right? When the presence of the Lord was so strong. And we just flowed together. We just flowed together. That's the way it is with the Lord. That's the way our life is called to in the Lord. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. Praise God. See, he accomplishes this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church and every generation through Jesus Christ and all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity. Amen. Oh, Lord, we just love you. Lord, we just love you. We thank you, Lord, for doing all the work. You did all the work, and all we do, Lord, is just receive. We just receive the beauty of who you are. Lord, I just thank you for each one of us, Lord, that you just give us eyes to see the truth of who we are in you. Lord, when we look in the mirror, we don't see things according to the natural, but Lord, we look and see in the mirror that behind these eyes, behind our eyes, is Christ in us, the hope of glory. That, Lord, that we know that you, your name is imprinted into every cell of our body. Every cell of our body is just rejoicing with for your name and with your name, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the reality of who you are in us. Give us eyes to see in greater ways, Lord, ears to hear in greater ways, hearts to understand. Lord, I just tear down in every single one of our hearts, I tear down any lies of guilt, condemnation, and shame. Just tear it off, Lord, in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, any kind of religious spirit, I break that off in the name of Jesus. We are no longer bound by religion. We're no longer bound by sin, Lord. You have brought us into this deep, intimate relationship with you. And Lord, we are no longer slaves of sin, but we are slaves of righteousness. We cannot help but live a righteous life because you live inside of us and we yield to that righteousness. Lord, thank you that we no longer believe the lies of who we are. All the old pictures of who we used to be, Lord, are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every picture of us as limited people, limited beings, every picture of us in any negative picture of us that the enemy has tried to form from our past, even the past of 10 minutes ago, Lord, every negative image that he's ever tried to imprint on us, Lord, we refuse them, we rebuke them in the name of Jesus. We are children of light, filled with your glory, crowned with your crowns, wrapped in robes of righteousness, full of your holiness and truth. And Lord, thank you for imprinting that picture in our minds and hearts, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we see ourselves walking through the stores, and that your Spirit so powerful on us, Lord, that people just come to Christ because we have walked into the building. And Lord, I pray that for every single one of us, we begin to imagine that in our hearts and minds. That we imagine ourselves in the truth of the righteousness of who we are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, you've called us for such a time as this. There's no accident for any of us being here on this earth at this time. And as dark as the dark things seem right now, Lord, we are the children of light. I thank you, Lord, that you've entrusted to us this time, and you've empowered us with every gifting that we need, every calling. There's no situation that we face, Lord, that you haven't fully equipped us for, because you are a good Father. You see the end from the beginning. And Lord, you've equipped us for every good thing that is before us in Christ. I thank you, Lord, for boldness to speak your word, to not compromise in any aspect of your word, Lord. And I thank you for deep revelation for every single person here, Lord. A deeper revelation than they've ever known, Lord, that right now is you, that you are here, Lord, and you are breaking strongholds of false identity off of people right now in the name of Jesus. You are right now, Lord, you are giving commissionings and anointings. You're imparting gifts and callings, Lord. You are speaking to people about what their purpose is and their destiny and their calling and their life message and all that they need to know, Lord. You're imparting it here, and you'll continue to speak to them throughout the week, encouraging them. Holy Spirit, you are the great encourager. You're the great comforter. And sometimes, Lord, your comfort is just letting us know that sometimes it may seem like nothing's changing, but your comfort is that things are changing. And we are being transformed day by day into your image. Thank you, Lord, that the veil has been taken off in Christ. And we look into the mirror of your word. And along with your word and the Holy Spirit just quickens all of that to us to bring us life and to bring us truth and to open our eyes to the truth of who we are. I thank you, Lord, that we don't hold back. I break shame and condemnation off of people, Lord, that the past, that anything that happened, Lord, it no longer has the right to define them. No longer. Lord, however family members may see us, Lord, that has no right to define us anymore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the eyes to see others. That we see, even as we look in the world, Lord, give us eyes to see the world as you do, not according to the sin that people are trapped in, the lifestyle people are trapped in, but Lord, that you give us eyes to see them the way you did. That when a woman who's caught in adultery comes before us, we don't see a woman caught in adultery, just like you didn't see a woman caught in adultery. You saw a daughter of the king who had been deceived and trapped into a lifestyle that she was never created for. And so, Lord, you, in saying that neither do I condemn you, that Lord, you set her free. And so, Lord, may we go out into the world in the same way, not with condemning, judgmental, self-righteous eyes, Lord, but yet your eyes to see the world the way you do. And the most bound up person in darkness, Lord, you can give us one word that breaks the power of that darkness off of them, Lord, and the truth of who they are is birthed in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we don't want to live one step less than what you died to give us. Lord, thank us. Thank you for helping us to bring in the harvest for this time, the great harvest brought on because we are manifesting as the children of light. And Lord, you know, it's not, it doesn't have to be a great big thing. It can be the littlest of incidences. It can be a, someone we talk to on the phone, someone who knocks on our door, someone who we see in a store, someone, it's not about platforms, Lord. It's about your people. It's about people, Lord. It's a phone call. It's a prayer. It's a smile. It's a touch. It's a word. In the everyday, ordinary, what looks like to the world as an everyday, ordinary day. But to you, Lord, every single day is pregnant with possibilities. It's pregnant with anointing. It's pregnant with salvation. It's pregnant with kingdom victory because of what you've done. So, Lord, may we look at every day as a day for the kingdom. It's not about our will being done, our agendas being done, but, Lord, it's about your will being done, your agenda being brought forth. Thank you, Jesus. That there's nothing mundane in you, Lord. We can do laundry for the glory of God. We can wash dishes for the glory of God. We can have homes filled with your presence so that people walk by and just are drawn because the presence of God rests upon our apartment, house, vehicle, whatever, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We want to live lives that glorify you in every way, in every way. And without you, Lord, we are completely unable to do it. But with you, the possibilities are limitless. Thank you for the trials that bring forth the character to sustain the mantle that you place upon us. Thank you for the trials that forge the character that allow us to carry the mantles that you have placed upon us. Lord, may the kingdom outside of us never get larger than the kingdom inside of us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are such a gracious King, such a gracious King, and you are so pleased to have us as your children. You treasure each one of us. You treasure our idiosyncrasies. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are your sheep. You are our shepherd. And Jesus, you are our bridegroom and we are your bride. And we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful garments you've put upon us. But Lord, we don't want to get so captured by the garments you've put upon us that we take our gaze off of you. May our eyes be stayed on you. May our hearts be stayed on you. We surrender our eyes, ears, mouth, hands, feet to you in every way, Lord. We receive the truth of who we are in you, Lord. And we want to live a life that glorifies you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.